Hey everyone, welcome back. This is the Dwelling Richly Bible Study, and I'm Jennifer Richmond, and we are in lesson two. Today is day five, and it's a great Tuesday, isn't it? It's a beautiful day out, and the weather is amazing. Well, it's Tuesday for me on recording and sharing this on Tuesday and all that. So, but anyway, glad that you're here. This is what I love about this time of year, fall, is that the days are warm, at least this week they've been warm, but not like crazy warm, right? Like anything above 78 to me is just unlivable. And then the nighttime gets so cool and crisp, but not crazy cold. So it's like 78, 79 in the day, and then it cools down to 55. My hubby and I have been enjoying the jacuzzi. It's just been wonderful. So hope you're having a lovely day. I've got my coffee here with just lipstick on the edges of it. Anyway, got my coffee, got my Bible, got my friends with me here doing Bible study. If you're with the group, welcome. I'm glad that you're here together for today's day in our Acts study. Let me go ahead and, let me pray. And then we'll go and switch screens and get into the lesson. Deep breath. Sometimes I just need to pause. Not sometimes, I always need to pause and just take a deep breath and thank God and set my mind forward on what I'm going to be doing. So let's do that, and let's take time to pray as we do our study together. Join hands around the table if you're with a friend, or just clasp them together and imagine our hands coming together and feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit and the communication and the fellowship that we have with one another as well. Let's do that now. In Jesus' name. Father God, we do thank you so much that we can come to you, that you give us that peace that passes all understanding. In the midst of things that we're going through, we can breathe deeply your calm spirit. We can ask you for wisdom, and you will answer with yes. And we thank you for that today. We give our time in this study now to you. In Jesus' name, everyone said, hallelujah. Amen. All right. Let's open our Bibles. I'm going to switch screens over here so that you can see the lesson. There we go. Again, lesson two, day five. And as always, we will start here and we'll memorize and meditate on the word, and we'll write, and then we'll read, and then we'll do our think and reflect today. I'm really looking forward to our lesson today. Hey, if you haven't already, don't forget to hit that subscribe button on YouTube so that you'll be notified. Well, you have to hit subscribe and the little alarm. There's a little alarm icon. Click that and it'll tell you that you're going to get notifications. So that way, anytime I put up a video, bing, you get a little chime and it'll remind you. And you can always mute the chime or what have you if you don't need that notification, but it is really nice. I subscribe to several fabulous channels on YouTube and I get their notifications. So I wake up in the morning maybe or whenever they've posted it, and there'll be new material out from some fun people that I enjoy following on YouTube. And so I'd encourage you to do that. And then you know what? Today's a great day to share on YouTube that you are enjoying this. So click that share button, send it off to your Facebook page, or you can send it off into an email and invite other people to join this study. Wouldn't that be fun? All right. Maybe you have friends and family that are out of state. It'll be nice to have a way to connect with them. And this would be an easy way to do that. All right. Let's go ahead and take a look and read together Acts 1:8. And then move on to our write and read the word time as well. So here's our verse for memorizing. How are you doing with it? All right. Have you written your post-it notes? I have. Good job. Are they up on your shower or in your bathroom or on your refrigerator? Take a picture today of where you've placed your post-it notes to help you memorize the word and inspire other people to do the same. I think when we see somebody else doing it, and I'll do it today too. I haven't taken a picture of him, but today I'll do that. And if I forget, you remind me. You can send me a note and remind me. But here we go. Let's read the word together. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Acts 1:8. We'll be writing one verse today to add to our write the word passage, which is just these words here. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Wow. I mean, that's one verse, but my goodness, I could preach an entire sermon on just that one verse. this is going to be an interesting challenge when in a few days I stand before you and teach all of Acts chapter 1 all the way up to Acts 2:41 in one message. Are you praying for me? Because I need it. It's going to be a lot to cover. It's the fun. It's the challenge of it. But it is definitely one of those things that if I were to teach weekly through Acts, we would be going through it at such a slow pace. We would do 3 verses 1 week and maybe 4 or 5 verses the next or what have you. We'd just unpack it like that heavy. But that's not the format for this. It's Bible study. And I'm trusting you to do some of that deep digging and understanding. And then I'll come together with you in a few more days here, at about a week from today, actually. I'll come together with you and we'll give an overview of this passage. Oh my goodness, it's going to be a lot though. All right, here we go. Our reading for the day. And this is a longer passage, just because there's a lot of names and information here. And so theologically, it wasn't a lot to unpack, but it's fascinating information and we want to make sure we understand it. So I chunked it up in that way. So let's go ahead and read together Acts 1, 12 through 26. I'll be reading, as always, from the ESV. Well, not as always, but you know what I mean. Here we go. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers, the company of persons was in all about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man acquired a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle of his..." And his, my goodness gracious, let's try that again. "And falling headlong, he burst open in the middle and all his bowels gushed out." Oh, it just grosses me out every time I read that. And we've read it a few times, haven't we? "And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language, Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office.' So one among the men who have accompanied us during all the time that Jesus, the Lord Jesus, went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day he was taken up from us, one of those men must become with us a witness to his resurrection." And they put forward 2, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these 2 you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Powerful scripture today, isn't it? Again, reading through this, I'm reminded that we've read it through today. We read it through at the beginning of lesson 2, and we read this passage also on day 2, I think, of lesson 1. I forget what day it was. Point being, you've read this passage at least 3 times now. And I hope that as you're embracing the concept of how I've laid out this Bible study, that you're starting to see the benefit of that level of repetition. There's a reason why we do it. And I hope you're seeing it. I hope you're reading it again this time and going, "Wow, I'm hearing it in a different way, or I'm noticing things I didn't notice before." And please understand that the Bible study that I've written for you, the 5, the 6 questions, the very few questions I'm giving you to unpack this entire message, is almost laughable. I mean, we could spend 2, 3, 4, 5 days of just our lesson unpacking this passage. There's so much there. And I've even had people suggest we should be taking 2 years to do Acts. And I made a decision to go ahead and do Acts in the 13 lessons instead of doing it in 26 for a variety of reasons I can explain later if you'd like to ask. But anyway, point being, embrace what I've given you in the process that I'm trying to lay out for you to do your study, and then dig beyond that. If you want more, please do. And then share what you're learning, what you've noticed. If you read something and you realize, look at that, that's an interesting way of phrasing, and I see that passage here and it connects to that, whatever zing, zing, zing connections that you're making in your brain, please share those. That's the benefit of coming together in community. And as you're watching this video and you're just sitting at home filling in answers and remaining silent, or even fast forwarding through this portion, which you wouldn't know if you fast forwarded through it, but and not engaging with it, you're kind of missing the point of what we're trying to do here. We're trying to build community the best that we can through these videos. So please engage. Please leave a comment. Please share your thoughts. Let's build a true community around God's word. That's what we're trying to do here. All right, let's go ahead and take a look back at the lesson. Not there, there. All right. So we've read through our passage, and now it's time to do some reflecting. I'd like you to go back, and let's take a look at number one here. Underline the word Sabbath. Excuse me. Underline the word Sabbath in verse 12. And there's a reason for that. And then I'd like you to read the information here on page 28. The Sabbath. I heard from somebody once a few lessons ago, actually wasn't even in this study, a few studies ago, say, I didn't even know that about that. I didn't understand this part. And I thought, oh, all the things you're saying you don't understand were because I had put them in a context box. And this is extra information. And she was just finishing her lesson, but not reading any of the extra information boxes. So this time I actually hand wrote on everything. Read this. Don't miss this. So hopefully you're reading it. The Sabbath. Acts 2:12 says the disciples had returned from Mount Olivet to Jerusalem, which was a Sabbath day's journey away. What is the Sabbath? The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for the generations to come as a lasting covenant. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh he abstained from work and he rested. That's from Exodus 31. God commanded the Jews to observe a day of rest, and he called it the Sabbath. This was observed from sundown on the last day of the Jewish week, our Friday, to sundown the next day, Saturday. Because God commanded no work to be done on this day, the rabbis, Jewish teachers, taught that the distance someone could travel on a Sabbath should be a little less than 3/4 of a mile. Since this happened 40 days after Easter, it was a Thursday, it was not a Sabbath day. That's just simple calendar math. Count the days and you will see. This happens 40 days after Easter and it was 50 days. I don't think it was 40 days. It was 50 days. That might be a typo. I will double check that. And you can check it out for me too. I think I meant to write 50 on that. Point being, it's not a Sabbath day. It is not a Friday night to Saturday. He is describing how far they could walk. And that's all Luke is, it's all Luke is doing. And there's been some confusion. People were like, oh, this happened on Sunday or Sabbath. No, it didn't happen on Sunday because Sunday's not the Sabbath. And it didn't happen on the Jewish Sabbath, which had been Friday at sundown into Saturday at sundown. It actually happened on Thursday because, and I'm pretty sure I misspoke or mistyped that. It should say 50 days. Because we know that Pentecost is going to be happening, and that is for sure 50 days, right? I'll double check that. There might be a gap of time in there. I'll have to research. The beauty of live Bible study with you. All right. So you've read the information. You understand now. And so what experience have the disciples returned? Well, it's been the ascension. The experience was the ascension. This is when Jesus, we read in yesterday's chapter. So I'll just type it in. The ascension, there we go, of Jesus Christ. So when Jesus Christ ascends in the cloud, goes away, sends, gives them the Great Commission. I love how detailed Luke is in his descriptions, don't you? Share at least 3 details about this gathering of disciples in the upper room that you found were interesting. I'd like to hear from you. What did you find interesting in this passage? I know I had a few things that I found interesting there. Go ahead and pause and take a minute to discuss with your friend sitting with you doing Bible study or write it down. So hit that pause button and I'll see you back here in just a second. Did you pause? Or you're just waiting for me to write the answer out? I want to hear from you. What did you find interesting? I don't want you to copy me. I'm going to show you my thoughts and here it is right now. They were in one accord. Hello? Hi. Oh, hey, Liz. So my house cleaner is here. I'm recording my Bible study right now. Nope, you're fine though. So hi, you can say hi. Just real life. Anyway, so they're in one accord. They were devoted to prayer. And Luke includes women in the list. And also, I love the detail added that were 120 of them. So share your details. What did you find interesting about this? So Luke also records the first words of Peter in this account. Summarize Peter's message to the disciples and what he tells them they have to do. So let's go back to the scripture on that one. And here's Peter's words in quotes here. He says that the scriptures have to be fulfilled, and that he reminds them of what Judas did. He was numbered among us. He was allotted his share in ministry. This portion here, just so you know, that's in parentheses. If you'll notice, there's no quotations around it. That's Luke's extra details. Luke is adding this part because you see the parentheses around it here and here. And then he picks it up and he says, Peter's words here again. Highlight that. All right. So Peter says, scripture's got to be fulfilled. We need to pick a new apostle. And then Luke continues on and records, let's see what the quotes are. There we go. Records what Lucy's going to go crazy because she loves Elizabeth. And here's Peter speaking again. And then Luke here, he's just giving his accounting of it. And then here's Peter's words again. There, she just, oh, there we go. Well, it kind of works. All right, anyway. So he summarizes it all. He gives the rationale. This is why we have to do it. It must have been one of those awkward, like, should we do this? I'm like, yes, we have to. And like, do we need to have 12? But Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, says we got to have 12. Jesus picked 12. We need 12. So he gives these requirements for being chosen. It had to have been someone who was there since the baptism of John the Baptist started baptizing. In other words, the moment that Jesus began his ministry, when John the Baptist baptized him until the ascension. So we have to keep that in mind. Whenever the Gospels record that the disciples were there, I think some of us get into our brain, oh, 12 people were with Jesus. No, there's 120 people in this room right then that day. And so any other time that Jesus was with the disciples, it could be anywhere from the three main guys, Peter, James, and John, all the way out to 120 plus. But from that, he chose apostles. And that's Peter's point here. He has to make that happen. Okay, so back to our lesson. If I can get my cursor to work. There we go. All right. What's one unifying spiritual discipline do you notice in the disciples' interaction with one another? Now, we've talked about this before, what a spiritual discipline is. In lesson one, I asked you each day to record on that side column things you're learning about God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit, as well as your own personal reflections and spiritual disciplines, spiritual things that are happening, right? So let's take a look. What do we see them doing over and over again? They returned, they entered, they went to the upper room, they were staying, Peter, James, and John, Zell, da, 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 da. They were devoting themselves to what? Prayer. They're devoting themselves to prayer, all in one accord. That's the spiritual discipline that we notice from the disciples. And we, as I mentioned yesterday, or when did I teach? As I mentioned in the previous talk, prayer was common. And this was a unifying factor of how they connected to one another. That's why it's so important for us to run a model up to the church. We need to be devoting ourselves to prayer. What does their prayer tell you about their priorities in selecting the next disciple? What does it tell you? Pause and write your thoughts down. I'll tell you what I think. I don't know if you can hear Lucy, but Jesus, so happy to see our friend Liz here. All right. What does the prayer tell you about their priorities in selecting a disciple? Here's my thoughts on that. That they say, you know the hearts of all, God. So that tells me that they understand the character, they understand the nature of God, and that he'll help them choose the next disciple. They're just submitted to the Father, and they believe that prayer works. It connects us to the heart of the Father, and he will reveal because through prayer. So they acknowledge that. And I think that's a strong encouragement for any of us who struggle with prayer and feeling like God doesn't hear. If you don't feel like God doesn't hear, like I have been there before, I always circle back to the heart of God and the nature, the truth, and the character of who God actually is. All right. So in addition to prayer, How did the disciples decide which man to select as Judas's replacement? Does this method surprise you? Why or why not? Well, quite simply, they cast lots to decide. Right. Okay. Now the rest is up to you to share. What do you think? Do you think this was surprising? Why or why not? I'd like to hear from you on this. Drop it in the comments below. Pause and write your answer down. Would you use this method to make a decision in your life? Why or why not? Think about it. Would you do that? Would you just cast lots? All right. Now, if you don't know what casting lots is, dig a little. And there's a dig a little moment. So maybe you can't answer this here if you don't really know what casting lots meant. Now, there's some notes in your Bible. You can certainly look at that. See how many other times casting lots is mentioned in the Bible, Old and New Testament. Write what you learn here. Here's a simple, simple, simple way to do that. Open up your Bible Gateway and just type cast lots. And put quotes around it so it knows that you want to look up those words. Hit enter. And you will see throughout the word, beginning in Leviticus, all the times casting lots was mentioned. And here we go. 22 different times in scripture, 17 in the Old and 5 times in the New Testament. Now, it doesn't mean 5 different occasions or 17 occasions because some books duplicate the event like the Gospels did. All right. So understand that casting lots was a method used by godly people in the Bible to make a decision. Do you think you would do that? Why or why not? And so write what you learn, share your thoughts here, and let me know what you thought about this whole concept of casting lots in our lesson today. I'd like to hear from you. Maybe you've done that method before. I don't know. I've never done that, cast lots to try to decide. I'm going to talk a little bit more about casting lots tomorrow in tomorrow's lesson. So please come back. As always, know that I appreciate your thoughts and your comments and what you have to share in all of our Bible studies. Please don't forget to subscribe and engage with us and leave a comment. And yesterday I announced a fun little surprise that I'm going to be doing, and I'm going to do it again today. If you leave a comment today on YouTube, on the podcast, Dwelling Richly, and any podcasting app, you can get it on your phone or on your computer. Podcasting, by the way, is just audio. There's no video. You'll just hear me. YouTube and Facebook, you get the video as well. Anyway, leave a comment, something you're engaging with. Don't just say hi. Give me a good comment. Tell me your opinion about something. Leave a thoughtful word there. And if you do that, I'm going to enter you into a drawing. So beyond just the regular fun prize for leaving comments, I'll have a bigger one and I'll have a drawing for you if you do that. I appreciate it. Know as always that you are loved and prayed for, and I look forward to being with you again next time. Bye-bye for now.